In the year 280, in the city of Myra, in Asia Minor, the area is now known as Turkey, a little boy was born. His mother had long prayed for a child like Hannah in the Old Testament, and he had promised God that if she conceived, the child would be consecrated to God. The boy was very holy and would not miss any opportunity to love and to give homage to our Lord. By the turn of the fourth century, the young man was orphaned and was left with a great fortune. He became the bishop of Myra. He was greatly loved because he was truly devoted to working for the poor and working with the poor and giving of his great wealth to the poorest of the poor. There is a story of a very poor father who, with three lovely daughters, who was distraught because he had nothing to give as a dowry so that these girls could get married. Now, in those times, if there was no dowry, the girls would have faced one of two options: being sold to slavery or prostitution. When the oldest of the three girls was of marrying age, this bishop placed several gold coins into a sack and threw it through an open window into the house of this poor Sir peasant. And he did the same thing with daughters two and three. But even though he wanted to give anonymously, he was caught on the third attempt and was thanked profusely by the girl's father. This same bishop who gave so much of all he had was no slouch of the church. In the year 325, when Dionysius was persecuting the church and Arius was promised to form a schism in the church, he helped to convoke a council of bishops in the city of Nicaea. This helped to keep the church intact, and it also gave us the creed that with which we honor our Lord every Sunday of ordinary time by affirming our belief in him. This bishop is honored in many places in the world as being the symbol for giving selflessly. His name was Nicholas. We also know him as Saint Nicholas, or sometimes as Santa Claus, a name given to us by the Dutch. And yesterday, the church celebrated his feast day. With Nicholas's giving, we realize that these days we're all caught up in the giving season. We prepare the lists of the presents, then we go to the mall or go through the pain of finding a parking space and then fight the crowds. Or we order from Amazon and then we have to wait until the packages come. We try to stay in touch with our friends and family. We prepare and send Christmas cards and presents so that they make it in time. We buy and prepare the special food with which we will celebrate the feast. We prepare and put up the Christmas decorations inside and outside our homes, if we can untangle the wires and find the burnt out bulbs. We prepare to visit our families and friends. In today's gospel, Luke tells us that John the Baptizer cried out to all the people, "Prepare the way of the Lord." He was calling all to repent from their ways and to get ready to meet the Lord. Now, what does that mean? Prepare the way of the Lord. Well, the definition of prepare is to make or get something or someone ready for something that will happen in the future. Something like we do to prepare to have a good holy day. But what is this baptism of repentance all about? Well, we're simply asked to clean up our acts, since we don't know when the Lord will touch us. In the second reading, Paul tells the Philippians and us that he longs for all of us to complete the work begun on us by God. He knows that he must wait for our love to increase. Now, some consider waiting time a time of delay, but really, God's time, 1,000 years, are like one day. This literally is a season for waiting. We must learn to wait patiently for the gifts the Lord has for us, just as the children wait patiently for the presents under the tree. I'll give you another definition. The definition of wait, to wait, is to stay where one is or to delay action until a particular time or until something else happens. A young husband and wife had been married for 2 years and they wanted to start a family. They wanted a child in the worst way, but they couldn't get pregnant. They visited doctors, specialists of all kinds, and the word they got from all of them was that they were both fertile, and there was no reason why they could not conceive. And still they could not. After nearly 5 years of marriage and trying to have a child, they finally decided that it was not up to them whether they would conceive or not. So they gave the decision up to God. No more specialists, no more anxious moments. They would wait patiently. Within 2 months, word came to them they were going to have a baby. All they had to do was trust in the goodness of the Lord and not be anxious about waiting. Now today, we celebrated that baby. My granddaughter, Catherine, celebrated her 27th birthday today. I remember the honor that I had of baptizing her 27 years ago right there. And she's one of the most precious gifts with which God has graced our family. And this past year, I was beaming with pride as I baptized my great-grandson, her son, Levi, in the same place. Yes, this is the season for preparation and waiting. But contrary to what we think, it is not us who wait for the Lord. He's already here with us. No, it is the Lord who very patiently waits for us to come to him with our changed hearts and minds. Are we prepared to place him at the top of our gift lists, to give him the greatest gift that he wishes for? Our hearts.